Today on the Wisdom Journey, we come to Paul's warning to the Colossians in chapter 2. Paul urges us to avoid being led astray by deceptive philosophies and traditions that deny Christ's deity and promote works-based salvation. Instead, he reminds us of the fullness of Christ's deity. The result is that we become complete in Christ. Stephen will help you recognize false teaching and embrace the true gospel of Jesus next.
I have read that bank tellers are trained to spot counterfeit money, but not by studying all kinds of counterfeit currency that's been seized over the years. They learn to recognize and identify counterfeit currency by spending time studying genuine currency. Beloved, you're never going to be able to become an expert in all the fine points of all the cults and all the false religious systems out there today. And you don't have to become that because they all have these two major points in common. They deny the deity of Christ, and they promote good works as the means of salvation. Now, along that same idea, Paul delivers a warning to the church in Colossae. And we're going to study the genuine item here together as we go to chapter 2 now. And verse 8. Here's what Paul writes. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, Paul writes here that human tradition, that is, man-made religion, is tied to the elemental spirits of the world. That's a reference to the demonic spirits that are behind false teaching that ultimately denies the deity of Christ. Paul writes that this deceptive teaching is not according to Christ. In other words, it doesn't line up with the biblical descriptions, the biblical truths about who Christ is. So, beloved, when somebody sends you a little pamphlet in the mail or they show up at your front door, just compare their message with what the Bible says about Christ. Don't let them, as Paul says here, take you captive, that is, draw you away from Christ. Now, with that, Paul emphasizes who Christ is. Here's the genuine item. He writes in verse 9, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Talk about a phrase that affirms the deity of Christ. Paul is saying that Jesus Christ is fully God, the second person of the Trinity, yet he affirms that God the Son is also fully man. Again, he writes here, in him, that is Jesus, the fullness of deity dwells bodily. Again, that means Jesus is both fully God and fully man. And let me tell you, beloved, this is what distinguishes Christianity from every other religion, all the cults out there today. Somewhere along the line, they're going to diminish the deity of Christ, if not outright deny it. Now, Paul writes here in verse 10, you, Christians, that is, have been filled in him. In other words, because we're in Christ by faith, we now share in his fullness. That doesn't mean we're perfect. You probably already proved that today. It doesn't mean we're divine or that we're becoming little gods, as false teachers tell us today. Being filled in him simply means we're lacking nothing in him. We have all the strength, we have all the wisdom we need in him to live for him today. So why would you follow some empty philosophy that diminishes Christ when it is Christ who fills you with everything you need? Well, what Paul does next is list more blessings all believers possess in Christ. First, we're freed from the power of our old sinful nature, and he illustrates this with circumcision. The false teachers here in Colossae were evidently emphasizing physical circumcision. So Paul writes in verse 11 that believers have been circumcised spiritually, that is, with a circumcision made without hands. In other words, human hands didn't get you right with God. They can't get you right with God. But Jesus cut away, so to speak, our old unsaved life. Spiritual death has been replaced now with spiritual life. Well, now Paul uses water baptism to illustrate our union with Christ. When we placed our faith in Christ, we spiritually participated in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And what better way to tell the world that we belong to him than through this ordinance of baptism by immersion, which is what the word means. Get the picture here. Paul writes in verse 12 that we have been buried with him in baptism, in which we were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Now keep in mind as well, beloved, that water baptism also pictures the work of the Spirit. Spirit baptism, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. We've been immersed by the Holy Spirit fully into the body of Christ at the moment of our salvation. So these concepts of spiritual circumcision and spiritual baptism illustrated through water baptism, they speak of our separation from that old life and our separation unto a new life in Christ. Paul writes here in verse 13 that we have been made alive together with him. Then he adds that Christ has forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us. I love that thought. Your record, your debt of sin, Paul says here, was canceled. How? By nailing it to the cross. And with that, Paul writes with great joy here in verse 15 that Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Jesus not only erased our debt of sin, he disarmed Satan and the demonic world. He took their power away. He turned their cannons into little water pistols. They might get you wet every so often when you sin, but they can't drown you any longer. Satan's weapons of sin and death can no longer destroy you. Now with that, Paul exposes the errors of these false teachers in Colossae. Now, what we know about their teaching comes from Paul's response to it. He notes several things, several features, which we can then draw from the content of their false teaching. The first one we could call legalism. They were trying to draw the Christians back into the Mosaic law with all its customs and ordinances that were fulfilled by Christ. Paul writes here in verse 16, "Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath." Listen, beloved, Jesus fulfilled all of these. These were pictures pointing to him, including the Sabbath requirements. We now find our Sabbath, our rest, in him. And by the way, that isn't just on Saturday. That's every day of the week. And we no longer observe festivals and keep the Mosaic laws that pointed to the finished work of Christ. He fulfilled them. So today, God doesn't hand you a list of rules in order to get into heaven. He offers you a personal relationship with his Son, the Lord Jesus. Legalism is still with us, frankly, because it's just our nature. We want to gain God's approval by doing this or not doing that. Now, beloved, this doesn't mean that you ought to throw out your convictions and, you know, start living like the world. What it means is this: you have been accepted by God, not because of your personal convictions, how well you've kept the rules, but because of the Lord Jesus' completion. He's done everything for you. You don't earn God's love. You don't earn his approval. You have it already in Christ. Now, here in verse 18, Paul warns against the worship of angels, which evidently was being promoted by these false teachers. Paul says here that this teaching was based on their false visions, and they were all puffed up in their arrogant thinking. I've heard several false teachers these days who magnify the work of angels and expound on their own personal visions. And I can tell you this, they don't expound on Scripture at all. Well, finally, Paul addresses the false teaching known as asceticism. Now, asceticism is a long word, but it simply means that you're going to deprive yourself of something in an attempt to become more holy, more acceptable to God. It's really just another form of legalism. Paul characterizes it here in verse 21 by the commands, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. In verse 23, he refers to it as severity to the body. All this is done today to somehow gain God's approval. You know, even today, people make pilgrimages while crawling on their knees. They fast for days or weeks. They believe their sacrifice will earn them a new level of holiness. Well, Paul says here in verse 22 that such practices are based on human precepts and teachings. In other words, it's just all useless human effort. Now, many people, Paul writes in verse 23, see asceticism as, Paul writes, appearance of wisdom. In other words, it seems wise. It seems sincere. It's something you ought to applaud. Look how sincere they are. Well, Paul says it's a waste of time. Just like any form of legalism, it can't change your heart. So let's learn to spot counterfeit religion. Here it is. It denies the deity and supremacy of Christ. It pins our hope on our own good works. So what are we going to do about it? Well, here's what we ought to do about it. Let's live today in a way that doesn't draw attention to ourselves, but draws attention to the glory and honor of our sovereign, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, until we set sail again next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International. I hope today's time in God's Word will help you recognize and avoid the traps of false teaching. Instead, commit to embracing the fullness you have in Christ. We have additional resources to help you walk with Christ. In addition to this wisdom journey, Stephen has a second daily program called Wisdom for the Heart. On a regular basis, Stephen writes articles that we post to our website. We have a daily devotional guide. We have an extensive collection of audio and video resources, as well as Stephen's books. All of these resources are available at wisdomonline.org. That's wisdomonline.org. Visit today, then join us back here next time.